July 27, 2023, JEDCO Executive Committee Meeting.
Good morning. Thank you for your attendance. And before I call the meeting to order, I'm going to ask for your help. There's a slight change with the protocol of the recordings of the meeting. Our recordings were always available to the public, but now they are being posted online to make it more easily accessible to the public. So I would ask you all, I'm not worried about any of you, I would ask you to make sure that I am circumspect in my comments, but know that if we're joking around or saying something, that it may be accessed a little easier. So with that comment, I'm going to call the July 27th meeting of the JEDCO Executive Committee to order, and I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And Terry, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Yes. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Terry. And it's not an absolute, because we're going to stay as long as we need to stay to do our business, but we're going to hopefully finish this meeting before 10, because there's a bylaws meeting that will be occurring in another room at the conclusion of this meeting. And I know Michael and Stephen represent a quorum, and Stephen has to leave at 10:15. If we can't get to it today, we'll call it another day. I'd like to welcome our guests. I believe we have Reed Smith from the Jefferson Parish Attorney's Office. Welcome, Reed, as always. And next, approval of board absences for today. We have two, Jim Martin and Jocelyn Frank. Can I get a motion to excuse them? Stephen, second. Thank you. Gene, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. None opposed. The motion passes. If you've had a chance to check your minutes from June 29th, did any board member commissioner have any changes or comments? Lloyd moves to accept. Second by Tom. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Reed, do you have any comments on any items on the agenda?
No.
Thank you, Reed. All right. Let the record show that there are no public comments. All right, we're going into new and unfinished business. We have a resolution approving consulting service contract for the implementation support services related to the Churchill Technology and Business Park Strategic Business Plan with Point A Consulting LLC. And Lacey, good morning. You're up.
Thank you. Good morning. So for about the last 18 months, which ended May 31st, we've worked with a consultant team, Perkins & Will, Urban Properties, or SBN, and Point A Consulting and DDG, which is an engineering firm, to continue to advance the master plan. And we call that phase two implementation of the Churchill Park master plan. The primary deliverable of that whole engagement was the strategic business plan for the park. And that was delivered by Point A Consulting, Stephen Spalding, and Bill Morlock, who I believe, if you were here on May 25th, you met them, and they presented the plan to you. And the board approved that plan and adopted it for implementation at the May 25th meeting. And you know, Jerry and I, we definitely want to see this momentum continue, basically. You know, the plan was just adopted. You know, it's best to just pick it up, try to start implementing those, in particular, those near-term and immediate recommended action steps of a plan. There are 18 of those. And we sat with Point A Consulting, Stephen and Bill, to try to you know, identify some activities that would basically help to begin to implement some of those, you know, immediate and near-term action steps. So what we came up with was a list, Ellen, it's on page 6 or second page of the memo. There were 9 particular activities, but then there could also be additional activities, and I'll get to that in a second. But certainly items 1 through 4, and I'll just speak them, assistance with planning and facilitating a staff training workshop on the strategic business plan. That would, you know, would educate our team on what is happening here, our vision, learning about the strategic business plan, knowing what to say when asked in the business community, what's going on at Churchill, and then also understanding their respective roles in implementing the plan. Number two, recruiting Churchill Park Director, which would mean developing the job description, helping to get the ad out, and even perhaps vetting the resumes that we receive in response to that. The third is preparing RFQ or RFP for a developer to construct a multi-tenant building. Ideally, this would happen by the end of the year, that we'd actually release the RFP, but it all depends on, you know, we need to have that director in place for Churchill Park development to be able to be oriented and understand the context of the plan and where we stand, and then pick up the ball and run with it with the RFP. And then number four, assistance with planning and facilitating a JEDCO board retreat that's focused on the plan itself. This could take place, Jared and I discussed perhaps as part of the board retreat that we do annually in February each year. And that's important for the board to help us figure out, you know, what are the limits? Basically, what can we do administratively versus bring to you guys? You know, what are you comfortable with in terms of negotiating land transactions or real estate transactions? So it'll be a really good, informative retreat and help us fully flesh out this governance role of the executive committee over the park. Those four items are definites. We want those actions to take place by Pointy Consulting. And they make up what we're calling the base budget of the proposed contract, which is at a cost of not to exceed $70,000. And that includes all professional fees up to 248 hours and also estimated travel and accommodation costs. For both the staff retreat and the board retreat, and one of those might be a two-day effort. And the remaining budget is at $25,000, and that includes up to 100 professional hours of additional activities. Those activities can be, you know, beginning to move forward with actions 5 through 9 on this list. It could be we need additional assistance with the developer that we, you know, vetting those RFPs and selecting a developer and then arriving at an actual transaction, a deal that works for both parties. So it could be a combination of that. It could even be something that we haven't foreseen yet, maybe a business prospect, a legitimate business prospect for the park that, and we determine we need Pointy's assistance in arriving at the real estate transaction, the deal terms. The $25,000 is not enough to fully address, you know, 5 through 9. It's really just starting to chip away at some of these activities. The term of the contract is 18 months, and or when all hours basically have been expended. So that makes the total not to exceed amount of the contract at $95,000. If we were to decide at some point, you know, next year that, oh gosh, we really need additional assistance, we need to up these hours, it would require an amendment to the contract and it would be brought before the board for approval. So this is, you know, I think a very much needed assistance, especially given our staff situation right now with, you know, on the accounting side, we're going to be working to fill those positions and build out one of those positions soon, but we're not there yet. You know, we're having to replace an economic development specialist position too. We lost one of our specialists recently. I think Point A Consulting, with their years of experience and expertise, can really help to increase our bandwidth to move these, you know, these very essential initial first steps of implementation along. So we are recommending to the board approval of the resolution that basically approves the contract with a not to exceed amount of $95,000, again, 18-month term, and authorizes Jerry to execute that contract.
Do you have anything to add?
No.
Any commissioners have comments or questions?
I will add that we have been very pleased with Point A Consulting. The knowledge and experience they bring to the table has been invaluable for us. And we they were part of the original plan, and we wanted to make sure they were part of the last plan, and they've kind of been part of the continuity through this Churchill planning. So we do see a lot of value in continuing with them.
Are they part of Perkins & Will?
They were a sub under that that original. Perkins & Will brought them in, and then they were, and we wanted to keep them.
Where are they based?
They're two principals. One's in Louisville, and one's in...
Philadelphia.
I heard.
Florida.
Will they develop the job requirements for the director? Is
yes.
that part of their?
Together we will, you know, determine what the right.
With our input alone.
Yes.
Yeah, not only helping to craft that, but they are going to help us identify the channels to find that candidate.
That was my next question because you can't find them just
right.
anywhere.
Yeah.
So, what do you expect the top deliverables to be from this contract?
Well, certainly the first four items. You know, we definitely, it's so important that our staff is aware and knowledgeable and, you know, feels invested in this project in Churchill Park, but also being know what to say in the community. For, you know, for many years we just were Churchill, yeah, but they'd ask, well, are you leasing, are you selling, are you, and we weren't really sure at that point what to say. So I think we'll give the staff that guidance to in the community be able to promote the park and do it in an educated, informed way. The board too, that's so important. We need to fully flesh out the governance of the Churchill Park, and that will happen with this retreat. So definitely those we need that director of Churchill Park. Definitely, because
okay.
you know, as soon as that RFP goes out, I want to have that person here and have them ready to go for when we get responses to just pick up the ball and run with it. It's so important that we have that.
Mark, you had a comment?
No.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ready to move. Any other comments or close? All right, Myra?
Yeah, I was very impressed with their presentation, mm-hmm. if you remember when they were here. So I'd like to move that we
All right. We have
accept.
We have a motion
forward.
By Myra. Do we have a second?
I'll
Stephen?
Okay.
Any final comments or discussions? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay, there's none. The motion passes.
And just...
Thank you very much.
Second, I apologize because I meant to state this for the record. We have about 33,000, I think, budgeted in the Edge fund for that project for this year. We'll have to, depending on how far we get with some of those deliverables, we might have to amend the budget to cover those costs for this year, and we'll bring that back to you guys. In the final amended budget.
This is an old rule in sales, Lacey. When you have the sale, you're supposed to be quiet.
I feel like I need to state that for
Michael, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you for that, though. I'm kidding. All right, we're going to move to the next item. Annalisa, you're up. There's a resolution approving the Third Amendment to the Cooperative Endeavor Agreement with the State of Louisiana Economic Development.
Before she starts, I do
welcome back Annalisa.
Welcome Annalisa
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
She's been spending time with baby Juno.
And just as a point of privilege, you want to tell us how it is?
Oh, yeah, she's doing really well. I'm only a little sleep deprived. So if I say the wrong thing, please
be kind.
No, but everything's going well at home. Thank you all so much. It's
great
to be back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. This is the Third Amendment to an existing CEA you all are likely familiar with, but it's a cooperative endeavor agreement with LED to receive, we have a technical assistance grant that's EDA funds via LED. The previous two amendments were just extensions no-cost extensions to the time because there were all these new opportunities we want to take advantage of, and they wanted to continue that time. And now, actually, it's an amendment brought to you all to increase the award amount. LED has identified additional funding And it's a testament to all the great work that the staff has been doing. They seek to augment our award. So that'll bring the existing grant amount from $100,000 to $115,000. The grant covers a wide range of technical assistance for the seafood industry in Jefferson Parish. So it covers staff time for business retention and expansion efforts, recruitment efforts, technical assistance and outreach efforts related to our sea fund, and then web development and other marketing activities related to the sea fund. And then recently we realized we've kind of understood the landscape of all of the many obstacles facing this industry. Oh, and sorry, I want to add one more thing. And outreach events, we held a couple outreach events in 2021 and 2020, and just a few months ago at the a big event for the seafood industry. But we wanted to really dive into actual best practices and recommendations for new programs that JEDCO or partners could actually undertake potentially. So we, a few months ago, you all might remember, we entered into a contract with Julep Consulting. And actually the next item on the agenda is Kate talking about that contract as well. But we decided that the additional $15,000 could be used to augment that contract to really dive in further to best practices, looking outside Louisiana, looking at, I believe, Maine and Alaska and a few other places for programming and marketing initiatives that could assist, that we could potentially identify or take on here, workforce development initiatives, and other just that they're going to be increasing their recommendations for an additional couple projects that could add value to the seafood industry here. So we're excited about that, to have actual tangible recommendations of things that could be done. And that $15,000, should you approve it in the next agenda item, would go toward augmenting that contract. So that's what's before you today, a third amendment to increase the dollar amount to $150,000.
That's great.
And I'll just add now that there may actually, so you're not surprised in the future, I received a call from LED saying there might be additional money available, but we have to see if we actually can spend it.
Yeah,
so anyway, they're very pleased with JEDCO's work, which is great.
Very good.
Well, this is a good one. This is better than places.
Yeah.
she can keep talking.
Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Yeah, well, you have more time if we let. Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any comments, or can I get a motion? Okay, Michael, second by Stephen, to accept this resolution.
And the money.
Yeah, keep the money. Last chance for comments or questions. All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There is none, so the motion passes. And Kate, you're up next. We have a resolution approving amendment number one to the contract for consulting services related to seafood industry, workforce development, and other programs assisting commercial fishermen in Jefferson Parish with Julep Consulting.
Perfect. Okay, great. So kind of tagging on to what Annalisa had said, with the great job of getting the additional funding from the state, this amendment seeks to extend an existing contract that we do have with Julep Consulting to allocate those $15,000 to a couple of ways to kind of enhance the work that we've already contracted them to do, and also to extend the term. Currently, they are phasing out at the end of this month, and this would extend our term with them until the end of October. So if you look at some of the specifics, and I'll just highlight a couple of them. Amendment one adds a deliverable that results in the development of an interview protocol process. Currently, they're out kind of assessing and meeting, but they want to be a more specific with some measurable interview metrics, if you will. So that is something that they're going to be taking on. As Annalisa mentioned, they would also be expanding the scope to look at best practices literally from coast to coast, to kind of better understand what's working in other areas that we might be able to implement in our reach. And then they would also increase, currently the agreement says that they'll deliver like 2 to 4 projects, and now they're going to come back with an increased number of recommended outcomes from their efforts and their research. So this would take their contracted budget from $32,000 to $47,000. and extend the term from July 31st to October 31st, and potentially longer if the money keeps flowing. So that is where we are, and we're seeking approval.
Okay. Yes. Any questions for Kate? Okay, hearing none. Can I get a motion to approve this? Okay, Jean, second. Tom? Last chance for questions or comments. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Just a quick question. I guess.
Apologize.
I do like the comprehensive approach that they're also going to look at supply chain development there too. I guess the question I have they've been engaged with us already. What is the deliverable so far? What have they provided?
They've been engaged with us already in a pretty deep way. We've been kind of partnered on some projects. We have done some outreach. We made a trip down to Grand Isle. We interacted with them at the Fisheries Summit. They've been meeting with the Sea Grant, with the Coastal Coalition. We just got a mid-year, a project update year-to-date, and so we've gotten a snapshot of what they've accomplished so far.
Okay.
And they're really, the lead on this is a woman named Robin Barnes. And Robin, some of you might know her, she was with GNO Inc. for quite some time. So she's got a lot of great contacts and a lot of great kind of depth of knowledge in this area.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? No? All right. So we ask for a motion again. Jean, second. Tom? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. The motion passes. Thank you. The last major item on our agenda today is the approval of the JETCO 2024 proposed budget. And Penny, does everyone have?
Yeah.
Okay. You all have at your seat what Lacey's going to speak about. So go ahead, Lacey, you're up.
Sure. One packet says page 1 through 16, and I'll go over that one first. The other one's 13. And if you liked my first presentation, you will absolutely love this one. first, we'll start with, again, this packet that says 1 through 16. It shows JETCO's budget, summary of revenues, summary of expenditures. Under revenues, the occupational license revenue is increased each year by the previous year's CPI, and we learned, it was confirmed by Jefferson Parish Budget Director, that percentage is 3. So 3%, our revenue from occupational license will increase by about $75,000 for a total of just about $2.6 million. But overall, we expect, minor differences in revenue in 2024. Decreases in revenue from what we anticipate by year end 2023. Let me just pause a second. So column E is year end 2023. We brought the first amended budget to you last month. And then column F is the proposed 2024 budget. Some of the larger differences are on the marketing schedule, and that's related to our business attraction campaign, which is being funded by Jefferson Parish at a total of $110,000 over the course of this year and 2024. And we anticipate reimbursement of $70,000 of that $110,000 this year. So that means the remaining balance is just $40,000 in 2024. And then similarly, on the admin schedule, in 2023, we anticipate receiving the parish $90,000 to fund the GNO Inc. CEA and $25,000 to fund the insurance white paper. But the CEA for the white paper is just till October, I believe, or December of this year. So that will be done and expended in 2023. But the largest differences in decrease in revenues related to special project schedule, and that's specifically our grant programs and capital outlay projects, and that's because for the most part, with the exception of the EPA Brownfields grant and the Avondale Marine Rail Improvement Project, the other grants will be completed in 2023, so we won't see that revenue or those associated expenditures in 2024. Total revenue we see a drop of 16% from 2023 to 2024, or about $917,000. Moving on to expenditures, a quick note, we budget in about 3%, or exactly 3% of salary increases each year, and then we increased the health and benefits for our team by 10%. But overall, we're expecting a decrease in expenditures from 23 to 2024 by 13%. The largest decrease pertains to, again, our special projects, and that's related to the grant work and projects that will be completed this year. The more significant increases in expenditures are found on Schedule A, the Churchill Park Development Schedule, and Schedule D, JECO building expenses, and I'll go over those in just a second. But we'll start with page 4 of this packet, which is the Churchill Park Development Schedule. This is a new schedule, so all of these costs are new costs to JECO starting in 2024. Schedule A prior to this was the Business Innovation Center schedule, the big, our business incubator. Of course, we haven't been operating the incubator in several years, and as long as we had those 3 years of no activity on the schedule, we were able to basically get rid of that schedule, and we replaced it with the Churchill Park Development Schedule. So this includes obviously salary and benefits and costs, administrative costs associated with the position. So there are conferences, there are dues and subscriptions, local travel, mileage reimbursement, staff development. And then there's also, we budgeted in some projects under the strategic business plan implementation. That would be for the phase one infrastructure development as proposed in the strategic business plan with a phased infrastructure schedule. $23,000 is estimated, the estimated cost of clearing and grubbing two blocks of property that JECO owns basically just past the Delgado site. And that's a phase one recommended project. Park programming, we actually moved this from Tech Park Expenses Schedule $8,000, and we really want this director to be coordinating events in the park. You know, we had that May 6th Economic Development Week even here of Churchill Spark, which was awesome. We'll probably start off with smaller events, but we budgeted some funding in there for the director to plan something. And then $5,000 for technical planning and projects. That's just I believe this is for our cost of, certified sites application for Churchill, for our property in Churchill, which that person would carry out. And then you'll see other financing sources transfer from other funds, $36,000. So that's coming from the EDGE fund. So we're moving funds from the EDGE to cover those SBP implementation costs. Page 5.
Attorney fees only $5,000?
Yeah, well, just not sure. Just you know, those are going to increase as we work with prospects in the park. But page 5 is the financing schedule. Very little change is anticipated in both revenue and expenditures, but a quick note on the revenues, the CDBG Fish Fund revenues. You'll see $50,000 a year for 23, but we zeroed out in 24. And that's really because we have expended the funds too. So we're not going to partake in any loans unless we identify another source of funds. And actually, Jennifer is kind of on top of that right now, working with a possible new opportunity to see these funds. and then we also anticipate receiving some revenue from our microloan fund program in 2024. And I just want to point out here, and this is applicable to many of the other department schedules, you'll see under communications, expenditures, communications, equipment rental maintenance, office supplies, postage, that those lines have been zeroed out, whereas in previous years we've had the expenses budgeted. And this came as a recommendation from our prime business consultant team. I'll just let you know, these costs include cell phone allowances for staff, our phone system costs related to that, costs related to the rental of our copier and maintenance costs with our office equipment and computer costs. Rather than divide those costs among each department that has staff by the number of staff, which, you know, can fluctuate throughout the year, Prime recommended that we consolidate those expenses on the admin schedule and then some also on the building ops schedule. So we're initiating that in 2024, that change. But moving on up to EES, page six. No significant changes, but I do want to point out in terms of the revenues on pilot admin fees, these are those fees that we receive annually on our existing pilot leases to for costs that are basically our time that is put in to administer those pilot agreements, which is pretty substantial. There's a possibility that we lose Avondale Marine's pilot lease, and that's if the Port of South Louisiana actually acquires the site. And if that were to happen, we would unwind the pilot. It has no purpose at that point since the port is a tax-exempt entity. So we would convey property back to Avondale Marine, they would convey to the port, and we'd lose out on the administrative fee, which is about $58,000 a year for 20 years. But I'm sure we'll have some additional pilot somewhere in that span of time. Okay, so I think we can move on then to page seven, strategic initiatives. Here, you know, this is Annalisa's department that handles our grant programs and our special projects related to special initiatives related to the EDGE. Again, here we're not seeing any major changes. We place all the grant programs in our special project schedule, so not in this one, but no major changes there. The page eight is the marketing schedule. Again, no significant changes. The changes you'll see that are most, the greater changes would be increasing our sponsorship revenue. But notice we increase our events expenditures line, and that's because we do anticipate having increased costs related to the JECO annual luncheon, and therefore we seek additional sponsorships to help offset some of those costs. But again, no major changes here from 2023. Page nine, the administration schedule. While overall the expenses on the schedule as compared to 2023 are less, I just wanted to point out that this schedule includes the salary and benefits for the two positions that Prime consultants have recommended, the senior accountant and the operations manager. Those don't exist now, however, what's already included in 2023 would have been the controller, her salary and benefits, as well as our accounting manager that resigned. So kind of, we don't see a huge jump, but there was a 9% jump there in costs. Let's see, and on the accounting audit expenditure line, we've decreased that, but I just wanted to point out that includes the cost of a part-time CFO if we were to stick with Prime, the consultant. If we did decide to bring on a part-time CFO as an employee of JECO, we would simply move that allocation to the staff salaries line. Page 11, building ops. And again, we moved some of those costs related to cell phone allowance and admin. Scott will help me. Cell phone allowance is moved into admin. Office supplies.
Office supplies moved into building.
Into admin.
Admin. Communication moved into building supplies. As far as the 8x8 phone system and the Unity fiber connection.
That's all building ops, yeah. I was just explaining what we've added to admin. That's good, thank you. Sorry. Tech park expenses, no significant changes, but we moved park programming expenditure line to the new Churchill Park development schedule. That's really the only major significant change here, except for, again, moving the computer cost and our phone system cost here to the building off schedule from.
And your pond retention.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Pond retention.
Yes, pond retention, we increased from 1,000 to 2,500. We do anticipate some work on this retention pond. I'm sorry,
right.
Yeah, this one.
We'll be working with Bachelor to try and turn the pond into an aesthetic feature rather than what we currently have.
Good work.
So moving to Tech Park, actually, I think we just did. But anyway, it's not a huge difference here. You know, we have to maintain pond abatement, but it'd be lovely if we can get in front of that, but it seems like they procreate too quickly for us to do that. But anyway, no major changes here. Page 13, the conference center. We've actually added several new expenditure lines. Not that the costs were already shown within this schedule under utilities and under contract services, but to get a better view and understanding of what our contract costs are, we ended up pulling those out. So the water line, we moved out of utilities, so now utilities is just electricity for the conference center. And then the remainder janitorial all the way down through pest control had been previously lumped into contract services. So we just pulled those anticipated expenses out. And Scott, what's the remaining under contract services? What would be the remaining?
The remaining under contract services would be if we brought in like a pipe and drape company, something similar to that, that way we bring in a subcontractor to help us produce an event at the conference center.
Right.
A lot of stuff that you're seeing, we're just trying to get consistent. So when we run audit reports, for example, like utilities, it brings in electricity. Before, we would consolidate water, electricity, and all. So now we can run department-wide reports, and we can see how much electricity we're using between the buildings, the park, and so forth. So it's just making things consistent from schedule to schedule.
Thank you.
That's good.
But overall, no significant changes. In the industry recruitment schedule, which is page 14, there's no page number, but anyway, again, no big changes here, but I do want to point out that the CEA that we have with the parish for the business attraction campaign will provide funds to support industry recruitment activities like a site familiarization tool for site selection consultants, and I guess possibly some swag and perhaps other attraction tools. So we'll have activity, obviously, with business industry recruitment, but that's not necessarily shown in this schedule. Okay, the next schedule is page 15, entrepreneurship and innovation. And this includes, this is an existing schedule, even though the director of entrepreneurship and innovation position is vacant, but we are bringing it into 2024. Hopefully we can get that position filled, you know, in time with some other positions as well. Yeah, so it includes there the salary benefits and related admin costs and then program expenses. But again, no big changes from this year to next year, except it would be, it would actually cost us something when we fill the position. So page 16, special projects. All the changes here are really related to the fact that we're going to be completing the capital outlay for the gate complex at Avenue and the USDA subaward, the food and beverage incubator planning will be done very soon. The LED technical assistance project actually might not be done this year if they keep giving us more funds.
We'll see.
Yeah, so we basically what remains are the Brownfield grant and the state capital outlay project for rail improvements on the rail crossing to the Avondale Gateway site. So in all, just going back to page one of this packet of JECO fund balance, page three, which shows beginning and ending balance and net difference. The net change in fund balance projected in 2024 is about $859,000, a decrease, and then an estimated ending fund balance of a little over $1.8 million. Of that, the unassigned fund balance is about $485,000. If you don't mind now, we'll just go over quickly the fund accounts packet. Pages 1 through 13, and page 1 starts with our capital expense programs for the building, the park, et cetera. For this page 1, for the JETCO building, we are putting into this, committing $72,000 basically now from here on each year. To be able to cover costs related to replacing and repairing some of our big capital expense items. So we estimate our 2024 committed funds for this purpose will be $663,500.
Is that sitting in a separate fund or is that part of the fund balance?
It's part of the fund balance.
Okay.
It's not a separate fund.
Not a separate fund.
But they're committed, so we have to keep them and not spend them for other expenses. But
if some of the big dollar items that have long lifespans, the driveway, parking lot, we're only putting aside $5,000, which is a year, which is a pretty small amount of money. It's basically just a small repair almost, really. What do you do if you have a major problem? You haven't set aside the funds, and you might have a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 repair.
We do have money set aside in that balance. Like I believe right now, total funds committed. I think am I reading it right? $385,000. So the board can always allocate those funds, even though we are setting aside a small amount for each item. In totality, we have enough to make major repairs in a whole, and then we have three different fund accounts for we got building, Churchill Park, and the conference center. So the funds can be commingled for repairs as long as we keep in mind that ultimately we need to get money into these line items to fix items long term. But sometimes, like we're guessing on like the concrete parking lot, it may never need to be repaired. Sometimes parking lots live for years, but out here we're being cautious because we know the quality of land we're building on. So we want to try and take into account items that could be problems in the future.
For the record, the quality of land out here is excellent.
Yeah, let that be.
Type of topography.
Yeah. Best coffee in South Louisiana.
And I'm hoping we're being cautious more so with these. Hopefully we will not need these items, but when we did the schedules as far as the lifespans, that was based on accounting procedures that they ranked the life of those items. So that's how we budgeted that.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Continue.
Okay, sure. The next page is our capital expense budget for the JETCO Conference Center. So the same thought process here, and we're putting in $56,000 a year. Total for these potential expenditures. That brings us to $616,000 committed for this purpose in 2024. The next schedule is the capital expense for Churchill Parkway. That includes repairs to the sidewalk, perhaps the street, lighting, electrical, structural, landscaping. And here we're putting in $5,000 a year. For our total net committed funds in 24 of $85,000. Moving on to the Jefferson Edge Fund, which spans a couple of pages, pages 4 and 5. Under Tech Park Master Plan Implementation, Tech Park Implementation, that's we have $50,000 there, which is the estimated cost of Point A Consulting. Their 2024 activities related to implementing the strategic business plan. And then under Tech Park Master Plan Implementation, we deleted Site Selection Initiative. Sorry. that we had site selection align under Tech Park Master Plan Implementation, but we haven't used that in years, so we just got rid of it. And now we have, I believe we have it under marketing. Yes, we have that line under marketing. But we can use the technical planning projects, $5,000 for certification costs. Again, you see the $23,000 for phase one development that we're actually putting into the Churchill Park development schedule now for initial phase one infrastructure costs. We do anticipate we'll be doing more marketing. In fact, the strategic business plan calls for a major marketing campaign for Churchill Park, and so we increased those costs from $5,000 in 2023 to $30,000 in 2024. And then overall, let's see, we're projecting a decrease in cost expenditures from 2023 by 33%. Again, we're moving the $36,000 out, so that leaves us with an estimated ending fund balance of $79,000 for that. On the forge schedule on page 6 of this packet, we usually bring to you guys a blank schedule, right? Because what goes into forge are edge-invested investments, and they basically immediately go right out. But we really feel it's important to be able to track activity in the forge account, in the forge fund, both for the forge board members to have that knowledge. And as a second kind of way of, I guess, checks and balances, basically, that when we have to prepare the Forge tax return each year, we can see actual amount of funds that Forge, collected, even though they were immediately transferred to the hedge fund. So from here on out, you will begin to see numbers, ins and outs here. The next schedule is the LRCF fund, and basically we have no major changes on this schedule. Same goes for our EDA schedule, which is page 8, as well as the OTAP schedule, page 9, and the Development Corporation, page 10 as well. The CDBG Fish Fund, no major changes, but if we do, we are able to identify another funding source so that we can do these additional loans in 2024, we would be adjusting the schedule next year. And then EDA COVID RLF, no major changes from 2023 expected, and no major changes as well with our microloan program, which is on page 13 of that packet.
Thank you.
Any questions, I'm happy to attempt to answer them.
Thank you. It was very succinct and complete presentation. Thank you. Good job.
I do have two comments, actually. First of all, as you recall, for many years, we added to our fund balance every year, and it continued to grow and grow to the point where we were getting criticized for having too much in our fund balance. That precipitated our move to commit some of those funds, to put them on the side for some of those capital expenses. And now in the last two or three years, through a number of our larger efforts, we have drawn down on that fund balance for a couple of years. So we've seen that trend for two or three years. Where I'm going with that is we had a group of business leaders at the beginning of the year that wanted to approach the council and the parish about increasing JEDCO's funding, because really running parallel with those drawdowns of our fund balance has been an increase in staff and programming and things that JEDCO is being called on to do throughout the parish, and that's caused a strain on our staff. We've had to add staff. And so I will be doing a full court press now, especially in these next 100 days before the election, to meet with the council and see what the appetite is to to increase JEDCO's baseline funding. And I'll probably be calling on many of you to help us with the facilitation of some of those conversations. My other comment is I just want to commend Lacey on working with our contractor to put together the proposed budget. Like most things, when she's pressed into service, she becomes more proficient than anyone else. If things ever don't work out with JEDCO, she can add CFO and human resource director and everything else to her her resume.
Cynthia would be pleased.
Yeah, it's that Cynthia. Yeah.
It's water.
Did any of the other commissioner have any questions for Lacey or comments? All right.
Great job.
Good job, Lacey. Yeah.
Always.
all right. So we have before us the approval of the JEDCO 2024 proposed budget. Can I get a motion to approve it as presented?
Motion.
Tom, second by Terry. Last chance for comments or questions. All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No, our passes unanimously. Thank you, Lacey. All right, before I turn it over to Jerry for the president and CEO report. What's that? Oh, the monthly. Yeah, well, I got time.
You haven't got rid of me yet.
Yeah, you're up. The monthly financial report. Thanks, Lacey.
These are our June financials. You see that we collected $72,000, a little more than that, in departmental servicing fees. And you'll see the breakdown there of finance, EDS. That EDS, I know, was the admin fee on the bond issue to the Friends of Kenner, Friends of Discovery Health Sciences Academy. And then over $20,000 in interest. On the expenditure side, travel and mileage costs over $5,000 in admin, a small amount in industry recruitment. That must have been local mileage reimbursement. Same thing for SI and EDS. Retina expenses, just under $4,000 in this month, or the month of June. Computer equipment expenses, $4,100 for monthly maintenance fees and computer services. Special projects, we spent just in the month of June, $3,390, all on the Brownfield grant project. And the JEDCO LAMP account balance at the end of June was $4.85 million. Jefferson Edge, we've collected $2,426 in interest. Our Tech Park implementation expenses, this was the Churchill Park Master Plan Phase 2 implementation project that ended in May when we got their final invoices. We paid out $27,704. Local marketing PR campaign of $9,634. And at the end of June, our Edge LAMP account balance was $537,000. And then, hey, we did this supplementary information. We completed the draft of our 2024 proposed budget, and you all approved it, and we thank you very much for that. Any questions?
All right. Can I get a motion to accept the monthly financial report then? To Myra. Second by Michael. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That passes. Thank you again, Lacey. Now, before I turn it over to Jerry, two quick things. I'm reluctant to single out one person of staff and thank them because everybody who is here and everybody who actually works for JEDCO does such a great job. But I did want to thank Scott for a second, and I mentioned it to him before, and I want to say before the rest of the board, over the last number of months, he's moved some of the Michelopolises out into other parts of the property, and Hunt Slonim's in here and moved paintings around the building. And I just think it looks really good. And you work very hard in getting the building ready for us along with Penny and get her very early. So I wanted to thank you on behalf of the board. And thank you.
Go ahead. I'll go ahead.
All right. I got one last thing. Joe Barry was not a prima donna requesting donuts. I thought that was a very appropriate, since as that's closest thing to pay that as a commissioner we get or one or two donuts. We are getting fruit though, and I thought that was a nice thanks to Myra.
Thank you. She's already making changes.
Yeah, she's next year we're gonna have yogurt hopefully when Myra's in charge.
I've been quiet for so many years.
All right, good change. But I this was a gift from JEDCO or from Petty probably to me. And I am not a prima donna, but this is my very own dozen donut holes. And is any of you wondering how you can get your own dozen donut holes delivered to your place at a meeting? Michael, you're curious?
Yeah. Right.
You would need to complete the 2023 sexual harassment and the ethics training.
I was first.
On July, I thought I was first, Lord. No, I couldn't believe you'd be me. While you all were having fun on July 4th, I did them back to back on July 4th. Okay. And I said, God, I have no life.
Do you get a prize for being last every year?
We're going to break this tradition. So anyone who completes their training prior to October 31st will get donuts delivered to them. But please, it's about an hour for each. So please complete them prior to December 31st so you don't get trained, and more so that Penny doesn't have to spend her day following up with all of you.
Sending emails.
All right.
And then, notes.
So that is it for me, and I'll turn it over to our fearless leader, Jerry.
I chuckled when you were talking about art, because last week I was with the Jefferson Chamber in Austin, and during some free time I walked into an art gallery, and they were setting up for an exhibit, and they were putting a Hunt Slonim painting on an easel, and I just said, oh, a Hunt Slonim.
And
the curator said, have you ever seen one before? And I was trying not to be rude, and I didn't say I own any. I just said there are about 40 of them in my office. Well, he thought that I must have had money, because he's like, well, let me show you this one. And then I followed it up with, I think I may know the world's single largest owner of Hunt Slonim paintings. But all kidding aside, I think while the rest of Louisiana has been on the beach in Florida, the JEDCO staff has been firing on all cylinders. Finances, we've been having grand openings for some of the projects they've financed. We may have set a record for attendance at Prosper Jefferson yesterday. We had great turnout, probably close to 80 people for our networking seminar there. We're starting on the redesign of the website, all sorts of things going on. From a staffing perspective, we do have an offer out right now to round out Kate's Hart team. We're anxiously waiting that response. And then as Lacey mentioned, we have these other positions, the operations coordinator and accounting staff members that we're trying to add to the mix right now. So there is a lot going on. Update you on a couple of external things. We're working on the insurance white paper. The parish provided some funding for us to take a critical look at the insurance market here, and to both give us baseline information as well as steps the parish can take. And the thought being, we have a document to help attract insurance company, more insurers to write in Jefferson Parish, especially as they take advantage of the state incentive, come into the market, and need to take some of these policies off of citizens. We just want to put Jefferson in the best position. We had Rafe Rabelais, who is working on that contract with us. He and I met with Senator Talbot earlier this week. That was the last of our one-on-one interviews. He mentioned that report is about 80% done, the draft report. Next step, once he completes the draft, is we will probably hold a stakeholders meeting of 15 to 20 folks throughout the parish to vet the draft and have further input. So that that's moving along, as well as the parish's industrial zoning study. And after the last West Bank Port Development Task Force, it seemed that there were two major issues that are still hang-ups among our industrial users. One related to the parish wanting to increase setbacks, and the other where they would be required to provide fence line monitoring. And I don't think the industrial users are not necessarily opposed to monitoring. They're fearful of making data that's highly scientific and to the layperson not understandable freely available on the internet. It would lead to a lot of interpretation and fear. Myself, Ruth at the chamber, two of the companies met independently with Councilman Bonanno, and we're trying to negotiate a happy medium there. We will call one more meeting of the West Bank Port Development Task Force to make some final recommendations to inform that plan. And so that's moving forward. Meanwhile, we have a number of prospects at Cornerstone and at Avondale that we've been meeting with. We met with Bongi, who recently acquired the Fuji facility, and they are planning an expansion there. We've met with CF Industries, who is in the process of acquiring the Dyno Nobel assets, and meeting with them. On the Avondale front, I think my last update was that they anticipated the feasibility in July, and this was the absolute last extension that they were going to be granted, and they intended to go to bond commission, absolute drop dead, go to bond commission in August. Well, as of about 40 minutes ago, I got a text message that they have extended the feasibility again. You can interpret that how you want, but it will be now pushed back bond commission to September.
Don't they have to have an agreement from Avondale to accept the price before they go to bond commission? Or
well, that's they have not negotiated a final price. They're waiting on the feasibility to determine that. And the reason I'm assuming there's a reason why they keep pushing it back. It's not.
Do they have the price yet?
Not that we're privy to. And they could know the price, and this is negotiations going on that are extending this. But I was told they would absolutely not extend it again, and here we are. So like I said, we can interpret that how however you see fit, but that was a disconcerting text message to just get, but I'll try and get more on that later this afternoon. I have a call with Avondale, so I think those are the items I wanted to.
Michael had some questions. The two state projects that I know, one was a gate, and was it relocation railroad tracks? Is that it?
Reestablishing the railroad connection. What's the road.
Are they completed, or are they?
Well, the gate complex is ongoing. Construction has started. Scott's overseeing that project. I don't want to add anything.
They're in the process. They constructed a temporary road to relocate the current gate complex and move the scales. So right now they're building the form for the new scale house. We're looking at probably another month and a half of construction. It's a quick timeline turnaround. So it should be complete no later than the end of the year, and then we'll undo that and get our budget straight with that.
So it's possible that both those projects will be complete?
No, just the gate.
Just the gate, okay.
The rail project did receive or have a part of its appropriation in Priority 5 moved to a Priority 1, uh-huh. which means soon. with SB, the State Bond Commission's approval, that can be, begin to be spent. In fact, I spoke or corresponded with Jeff Kiever of Avondale Global Gateway yesterday, and we're trying to schedule a meeting so we can talk, because they want to actually begin construction in first quarter of next year.
Okay. I'm trying to slow play that a little bit, in that if the Port of South Louisiana takes the property, they're a political subdivision just like us, and we can transfer our sponsorship to them and just take us out of it. Because it's a significant drain on staff resources. The administration of those capital outlay projects is significant.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we can transfer it to the Port of South Louisiana. If the sale does not go through, we're gonna have to sit down with Avondale Global Gateway and discuss the things we learned in the gate complex project, which taxed staff significantly, so that we don't deal with that again.
Okay. Any other questions for Jerry from the commissioners? All right. Do any commissioners have any updates or comments or anything?
I have an update.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to share with everyone, we're hosting our annual Hispanic Business Conference and Trade Show on August the 8th at the Convention Center. And JETCO, of course, will be there with the wonderful team. But if you know of any small businesses, or if your corporations or large businesses would like to participate, we have great attendance already. And this year, a little twist, we have entrepreneurs, 20 of them, coming from Honduras, Central America.
What's the date again? I'm sorry.
August 8th.
Thank you, Mark. And all right.
I do have one more announcement.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't remember if I emailed the board on this, but the LCTCS, as a bit of a surprise, Delgado had nominated JETCO for a public policy award, the Joe D. May. If you remember, Joe May was the previous head of the LCTCS, but we were notified last week, I believe, that JETCO will be recognized and receive the Joe D. May Public Policy Award for Public Policy Excellence. So we'll be awarded that, I believe it's September
27th.
So
congratulations.
That's wonderful. All right. Any other good news?
All right. It's all good news.
It's all good news. Penny, who's going to go staff with Stephen and Michael, Jerry?
Yeah.
For the
Jerry, me, Lacey, and Scott.
Okay, all right.
If any of you are available this afternoon, also we are. You did receive an email about. I don't know if it's set up as a Zoom or a Zoom meeting where we have DCI doing an update on the state of site selection and a review of the local area and some feedback. And I think all of you will find it very, very interesting. So please, if you have the time, participate in that.
Okay. Let the record show that this might be my shortest meeting. So, Terry, these are normal meetings, not the four-hour one on your first meeting. She wondered what she got herself into. So, all right, but thank you all. I will be out of town for the next meeting, so don't let Myra make too many changes.
We'll have tea instead.
Yeah, we'll have tea. That's right, we'll have tea.
No coffee.
No coffee, all right. But I'm sorry for missing the next meeting. But can I get a motion to adjourn? By Jean, second by Terry. All right. Thank you all very much. Have a great rest of the month.